to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, some news this week for the Portland Diamond Project. Major League Baseball to Portland proponents. You're going to be stoked about our next guest, Jed Lowry, former Major League Baseball All-Star, Stanford Slugger, Salem kid, is part of this Portland Diamond Project effort. He is serving as an advisor to the group, and the group got in contract with a 33-acre parcel of land on the South Waterfront, the Zidell Farms property that has long been coveted. You talk about sight lines, the river, city of the backdrop, the Ross Island Bridge on one side of it, the Tillicum Crossing Bridge, the footbridge on the other side. You've got the infrastructure with public transportation that already runs in the area. This just makes too much sense. What is next for the group? Can it get the attention of Major League Baseball? Our next guest here to talk about it, here's Jed Lowry joining us. How are you, man?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Good to hear your voice. I have a lot to ask you about. Go ahead.
Yeah, perfect. I just gotta say this too before we go. Who's ever doing your sponsorships? I mean, give them a raise. You know, you got the advanced hair commercial coming on the Bald Face Truth. Well done.
Hey, I have a beautiful bald head, Jed. But if you don't, advanced hair can be for you. Like, you know, there's an angle there.
This stuff writes itself.
Hey, help me out before we get too deep into this. The Oakland A's will play their last game in Oakland, tomorrow. It's going to be a really sentimental moment for Bay Area fans and A's fans. And you played there. Give us your memories of that place and how you feel about watching that.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously the Coliseum will always be a special place for me. I represented the A's in the All-Star game and played half of my career there. A lot of good memories personally, a lot of great teammates, and a lot of fun games played there. So yeah, it's a lot of emotion coming into the final series here.
As a ball player, you get to go around the country and play in different parks, and they all kind of play a little differently. Baseball's baseball, but did you have a favorite place you like to play?
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of. If I had to pick one, I would say Seattle. I think with all of my family that would come up there, that was as close to home as I got. I enjoyed hitting there too. I don't know what my career average was there, but probably pretty high.
A lot of people didn't think it was a favorable place to hit, but I saw the ball great there, and I always enjoyed going there.
The Portland Diamond Project, the Zidell property, there were some previous properties that were involved here with Portland's MLB effort that weren't perfect. They had infrastructure problems or they weren't on the water. This one works, Jed, in a number of ways. What's your role with the Portland Diamond Project as an advisor?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to keep them, keep them up to speed on everything that's happening in baseball and, just staying involved in the game and learning a lot through this process myself. You know, I'm recently retired and want to stay in the game. And, especially as an Oregonian, seeing this opportunity in front of me and, having this, group that had been working on this for so long, I thought it was a great opportunity to come in and provide some perspective that, they may or may not have had prior.
The next step, obviously, you need Major League Baseball to be willing to expand. You know, what are you hearing in that space and the commissioner's interest in a city like Portland?
Yeah, so I think that the commissioner, Rob, has been very forthcoming that they want to get the A's deal done. They want to get the Rays deal done. And then they'll start looking expansion after that. So I think that they are, I think they're considering, you know, they're going to consider every option that that presents itself. And so I think that, you know, this group here, if the Portland Diamond Project can put together a compelling, you know, business case, then I think that the market would have to be strongly considered.
The things that you think baseball's interested in, you know, I hear people saying, well, they don't want to come to the Pacific Northwest. Well, the baseball's already in the Pacific Northwest. What do you think MLB's looking for in expansion cities?
Well, I mean, it is a business at the end of the day. And so, like I said, I believe that they're going to look for, you know, a business deal. They're going to look for, you know, a partner, right? Like there's only 30 of these things, of these teams. And, you know, if they do add two more to 32, and, you know, it's a tightly, knit group and, you know, so they're going to want partners, and they're going to want to know that that the region or the city is invested and is going to be a good partner in the business.
By the way, our research staff got to work on your stats inside of in Seattle. You hit .282 with 9 home runs in Seattle. That was the most home runs that you hit in a ballpark that you didn't play in as a home player. So you were
there
right
you
about
go,
that.
See?
Good power in Seattle. Jed Lowry.
Everybody thinks it was a tough place to hit homer, but if I'm hitting homers there, it can't be that hard.
Jed Lowry's with us. By the way, North Salem High School, 2-time first team All-American at Stanford. You hit .341 at Stanford. And you signed after your junior year there. You know, the Red Sox took you, first round selection. Was that a hard decision, or when the Red Sox picked you and you're in the first round, you're a junior, do you just go, hey, this is the time for me to leave Stanford?
Yeah, no, I mean, anytime a club takes you and is willing to invest that amount of money into you, you know, to give you an opportunity to go and pursue a dream, it was a pretty easy choice. You know, and I was ready for new, you know, a new venture in professional baseball. And so, yeah, I was very grateful that I was selected by the Red Sox.
All right. Help us out with something. This is off topic with baseball, but we're watching college football players kind of deal with being professionals now with NIL and everything that's going on. And you were a young guy coming out of college, but you had kind of, you know, some years at Stanford behind you and probably some family members in your circle helping advise you. But, I think a lot of college kids don't know what they don't know. And I think we're watching some of that play out right now. What do you make of kind of the messiness of NIL?
Yeah, I mean, I think it got to the point in college athletics where something needed to happen. You know, you had... I remember I was on a partial scholarship, and you know I couldn't go work a minimum wage job without risking losing my scholarship. And you know, I was lucky enough that my parents also supported me. But you know all college is expensive, and if these athletes couldn't have an opportunity to go help pay off the rest of their tuition and books and boarding, you know, you're coming out, even though you're a scholarship player, coming out with debt. So I think, you know, that needed to be addressed. It's a little bit of the Wild West right now because, you know, people are shooting first and asking questions later. I read that story about the UNLV quarterback who's now going to be holding out after a 3-0 start. So I think you'll probably, you know, my guess is you'll see more of that, like a lot of promises made that aren't followed through on. And I don't know the details of that. And I don't mean to, you know, accuse any institution or anybody of anything. But, you know, that was one of the headlines today. And it seems like that there'll be a continued trend, though, of a lot of unkept promises in NIL until there are some sort of regulations in place.
Jed Lowry with us. He is a special advisor to the Portland Diamond Project. Help us with the reality of this, Jed, because, you know, I bring it up and I get some people who wave me off and say, oh, MLB will never look at Portland. Give us the reality of, you know, years from now, that waterfront ballpark being there, and you know, I'm having a hot dog and a beer and watching a game.
Yeah, no, I think it's a distinct possibility, and I think it hinges on, like I said, the overall business deal that the Portland Diamond Project can put together, right? And I think that just comes from an enterprise value and the ability to generate revenue and try, you know, we have the revenue sharing system in baseball. And so I think that if we, you know, if the Portland Diamond Project can, you know, prove to Major League Baseball that you know, they won't be on the on that revenue sharing side, I think that gives the effort a better chance.
Jed, you know, you've been working with Mike Barrett, Craig Cheek. You've kind of seen them in action. I got the impression in talking to Craig the other day that he was really stoked about getting this piece of property under control and the possibilities, you know, and he didn't get into great detail, but I cannot wait to see renderings of a ballpark in that empty space that sits between those bridges and what that might look at. And does it feel different to you, this version of the stadium push and this piece of property?
Yeah, and you know, I've been watching from afar for a while, and you know, I started with these guys at the beginning of the year, advising but you know, as I've gotten caught up to speed, I mean, such a challenging, you know, period for those guys to navigate leading up to that, you know, with all the, you know, shifts in real estate values and, you know, the game in and of itself, the timeline of expansion being pushed back. And those guys have put in a lot of time and effort and done things the right way. And so, you know, it is. I can tell, you know, by the tone how excited everybody is. And I think it's this culmination, but it's also, I think everybody recognizes that it's just as much a starting line as anything else.
Timeline for this, you know, I know that, you know, Rob Manfred does not like to talk about expansion during the season. It feels like this is a conversation that should happen in the winter, but it, you know, I think you know, a lot of people are excited by this and want to get behind it. And you know, what do you tell people that are sitting out here in the Pacific Northwest where you grew up, who are hoping to see an MLB team here?
Yeah, well, I you know, once again, you know, Rob has made public comments about that. His contract expires, I believe, in January of 2029, and he doesn't expect, you know, in those comments, that he doesn't expect teams will be playing before his contract ends, but that, you know, his hope is that it will be, that the process will be well underway. So you can kind of interpret that a couple different ways, but the reality is it takes 3 years to build a stadium, and you have to be ready when the opportunity you know, presents itself, because these things move really slow until they move really fast. And so, you know, I think that Craig and Mike and team have done a great job of setting themselves up for a timeline that, you know, we could project, but I don't think is, you know, they're not going to commit to, Major League Baseball is not going to commit to that timeline until they check the boxes that they need to check.
All right. I see you, your background in baseball, your education, your smarts. I see you as an executive with a team. You ever want to be a GM in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought about that. I think there's definitely hopefully there's some opportunities that I can take advantage of. And you know, I'm trying to balance that right now with a young family and,
yes,
you know, recently retiring. But I think, you know, teams are doing a good job of, and the league in general is doing a good job of bringing, you know, former players back in that care deeply about the game. And so I think that's something that's on my radar and that I will continue to, you know, pursue opportunities if they are presented. Cause I think it would be something I would enjoy. And you know, I know that I need to, I guess I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is I don't know what I don't know. So I need to go ahead and get a little experience on that side.
Well, I'm excited for this effort to see what happens next. I think you being involved with it validates it. And I appreciate you coming on, Jed, to kind of talk about it with us a little bit. And I can't wait to see what happens next here as the Portland Diamond Project, Jed Lowry as an advisor. They obviously have a piece of property under control now. And one last thing, you know, there's been some talk about a practice facility or a training facility being over where the Red Tail property is. From a player standpoint, can that work? Can you have a training facility 8 miles away from the stadium? Or are there benefits to that? Because it's not like you have to go to the ballpark. You've got a facility to go to.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it would do, you know, like some off-season work. You got Nike close by. You got, you know, so you could really get into some of like the sports science stuff. We go every day. So, you know, but I think from an overall like business proposal, and overall enterprise, you know, I think that, you know, it makes total sense to have, you know, corporate offices and, you know, you could have, you know, training facilities, you could have youth fields, you could have all these different, you know, options that would, increase the profile of the enterprise, that I think would make perfect sense out there. And like I said, this is ultimately going to be, a business decision for Major League Baseball. So, you know, I think, the strategy makes sense to me.
No disrespect to any pitcher, but was there a guy in particular that you hit well, that you just, for some reason, you saw the ball well or seemed to have success against?
That's a good question. I guess I couldn't pull up, you know, off the top of my head. I don't know the exact numbers, but I will say Felix Hernandez early in his career might have gotten me out every time, and Felix later in his career, I'm not sure he got me out. So we had some good battles throughout the years. And when people ask me who's the best pitcher I saw, I would say a young Felix Hernandez, actually, because he was sitting 96, 97 when nobody else was throwing that hard, and he had that wipeout slider. So that was not something that, you know, guys were used to seeing.
I just love that. And you hit 4 home runs off Felix, by the way. So there you go.
Yeah, I hit my 100th career off of him, and I have some very distinct memories because I think there was so much you know, relief when I actually got some hits off of him, because there was probably some built in trauma from the first few years of facing him.
What do you make of what Shohei Ohtani's doing?
Just absolutely, absolutely special. I mean, he is this larger than life character. That, you know, a lot of people say Babe Ruth. I agree with that, but he's also doing things that Babe Ruth never did. I mean, there's two things in particular: the 50-50 season, and then being a starter as both a pitcher and a hitter for the All-Star game. So that just really special things. I told my kids, you know, that one day I'll be able to tell my grandkids I played against Shohei Ohtani. I actually played against him in his first series too.
Really?
His first base hit was a ground ball between me and, I believe it was Yonder Alonso, in 2018 at first base. And then I faced him in his first start at the Coliseum.
He seems to, you know, when he walks to the plate in the first inning, he nods at the catcher, he nods at the umpire. When he gets to first base, he shakes hands with the first baseman. Is he really that polite?
He's very nice. I mean, you know, I've never seen him, you know, show anybody up or be disrespectful in any way. Like he's exciting. You can see his, you know, over the last couple of years, his personality coming out. He gets fired up. He's gonna celebrate with his team. But I've never seen him be, you know, disrespectful. It's always celebrating with his team and with his guys.
It's I'm a Giants fan, right? And so I don't want to like the Dodgers, but I like the guy. He looks likable. He looks like, you know, he could live next door to you and you'd love him.
In every interaction I've had with him, that's exactly the case.
Jed Lowry, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you, man.
You got it, John. Absolutely.
All right. Attack the world like you attack Mariners pitching. I love it. Thanks, man. There he goes. Jed Lowry. He's working with the Portland Diamond Project now. Look, I want to see a shovel in the ground. But the fact that they've got him in the fold working as an advisor, that should be encouraging to you as well. It feels like this group has got some momentum right now. They need to keep it going. I think the faster they can get some renderings of the ballpark on the waterfront out there, the faster they can get control of the Red Tail property that takes a vote from the Portland city commissioners. I think the faster they can get that training facility under control, the better. And the faster they can get Rob Manfred to get on a plane and fly to Portland and walk around and see the vision, all of that stuff matters now. They are in a race, like it or not, with cities like Salt Lake City and others. I want you to leave it here. You got the BFT.